listening live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
We are live on remote. First remote ever for me, at least, here on Saturday Tailgate at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field. It is the 7-on-7, the ESPN 106.3 7-on-7 today. We have the best of the best of high school football, flag football, and we're getting you geared up for a big, big weekend of sports. We got Christian Catt on site here as well. Damian Perez back at the City Place Studios. And boys, I wanted to start today with the NBA Finals. And if you were listening to, what did we call it yesterday? Riz and Cat Fest.
Ugh.
Not a name. Not a name that rang well, but Christian and I were on the air for 4 hours yesterday. And a big talking point was how I was down on these NBA Finals. I don't care about the matchup. I don't care about Indiana and Oklahoma City. I still stand with that. But Christian, the basketball fan that I am, I watched every bounce of the basketball last night in the game, and I got to give credit where it's due. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a big moment, and he didn't necessarily have the best defensive game. We'll say that. He didn't have the best defensive game the game before, and a lot of people were on his effort. People were calling him out for his effort, which I wasn't quite ready to go to. I don't think he's a defensive-centric player, and I think Rick Carlisle and the Indiana Pacers really had a nice kind of game plan to attack him on that defensive end. But what did we talk about yesterday? Dagholt's a good coach, the head coach for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they made adjustments. And it was neck and neck going down the stretch. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was ultimately the guy who saw the Thunder to victory. And they did the same thing in a game, in a must-win game that they needed when they were down 2-1 against Denver. Gilgeous-Alexander and the Thunder showed up, and it was tied 2-2. So guys have been showing up in big spots. You got Tyrese Halliburton on the other side. Quote-unquote nicknamed the moment. I'm not sure if the great Evan Cohen came up with that nickname or not, but I give him the credit for it. And then you got Gilgeous-Alexander now with a big moment. Now, Christian, you were up watching this game as well. What were your thoughts on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as he was doing his thing to make sure the Thunder won 111-104 last night in the NBA Finals?
I kind of love 35 points, no assists. Certified bucket getter. I did appreciate that because he wasn't sitting at the free throw line the entire game like we were kind of accustomed of him doing in the regular season on games where he'd rack up the points total. He eventually found the line in that fourth quarter and put up 15, I believe, in that final period.
Yep.
I also came out of the game impressed with Pascal Siakam. I thought he probably had the best showing of any Pacer in that game on both sides of the ball, where his length was a real problem for three quarters of that game for the Thunder. Like, he was the reason why the Pacers had a lead going into the fourth quarter and why it took a Thunder comeback to even that series up at 2-2. I love the game. I am enjoying these finals, and last night's game was another reason for that. Another fourth quarter comeback where you couldn't turn the game off in the third quarter and be happy that you got an extra half hour of sleep. I loved it.
Siakam, to your credit, I feel like he's the best scorer on Indiana. If he's scoring at a high level, Indiana is probably going to be in these games down to the end, and that's exactly what this was. The moment where I think Oklahoma City won the game, they didn't even take the lead. It was when Gilgeous-Alexander hit the three to cut it from 103-99. It's a big shot. You're down 4 points. If you don't get a bucket there, you go down the other way, the Pacers could get up six, and they could get out of hand with under two minutes coming up in the game. But that three-pointer to make it 103-102 by Gilgeous-Alexander with 2:58 left, I thought was the moment where the Thunder really started to take control of momentum.
And, Damian, I'm going to loop you in the conversation because I have to do public address announcing here at Kaiser Multipurpose Field. So the floor is yours, Damian Perez. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it, boys.
Christian is going to go handle his PA duties. We appreciate Christian. By the way, Christian's going to be doing a show coming up here at noon. We are calling it the 7-on-7 special. I will be on site as well, as long as I don't have to do the PA obligations. But we appreciate Christian Catt joining us for a hot moment. But Dame, what I wanted to loop you in on this, you had an issue with the quote-unquote push-off and travel that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander had late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, I appreciate the no call. I didn't mind the no call, but I feel like if you're going to do that, you have to keep it consistent. And there was a play, I feel like it was like just about 2 minutes before that, where Shai got a very, tic-tacky call against Neesmith, where he got to the line and got very important 2 points, and that kind of set off the run. So I just, if you're going to not call those plays, you got to keep it consistent throughout the entire game. And I feel like Shai Gilchrist, sometimes he gets the benefit of the whistle.
Yeah, Gilchrist, I mean, there's no, it's not a secret. Gilchrist Alexander likes to get whistles and likes to get to the free throw line. It's really James Harden-esque. You look back at those Harden teams that gave Golden State Warriors everything they had when the Warrior team featured Durant, Curry, Thompson, all in their prime. And people were on James Harden for the way he played trying to get to the free throw line. I didn't necessarily think that was the case last night. And then listen, I know you want consistency, Dame, but I was happy that the referees kind of let them play towards the end of that game, because I think Oklahoma City proved that they could win in a big spot. I still go to you're down 103-99 with under 3 minutes to go with 2:30 left in the ball game, and you end up winning it by seven. Yeah. You end up winning 111-104. So they got the clutch defensive stops that they needed. They got the clutch play from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And now if you're Indiana, it's 2-2. You had a real chance to take advantage of being up 2-1 on your home court. And famously enough, Indiana, throughout these playoffs, the game they would lose would be Game 3. Game 3 is the game that they would lose at home after going up 2-0. If you go back to the Cleveland series, if you go back to the Knicks series, they lost that game at home. And obviously they had home court against the Bucks, so that doesn't really work for the argument. But they really had a chance to take control being down 3-1. Now, I know some people out there that think, you know, even if the Oklahoma City Thunder went down 3-1, they had a good chance of winning three straight games, a la Theo Dorsey, who is on a cruise and God knows where, not at 7-on-7 here at the multipurpose Kaiser Field. But at the same time, Dame, I think this adds juice to the series. It adds something that maybe I was yearning for. Damian, ask me if I am intrigued in the NBA Finals after last night's down-to-the-wire game.
How do you feel about the NBA Finals, Mike? Are you intrigued at all?
I still think I am still not in the mode where this is must-watch television.
Now,
I have a problem.
I disagree with that, Mike.
Dame, quickly, I'm a sports addict, okay? I need to go to AA on being addicted to sports, because I watched every single minute of last night's game, and all I did was complain about how bad this matchup is with these teams.
With that being said, I don't understand how you have that sentiment, because if we look at last year's finals, I mean, it was 4-1. The Celtics absolutely manhandling
right.
the Dallas
but
Mavericks.
Let me tell you why last year's finals were better. You had Luka Doncic on the Dallas Mavericks, who is ascending to that superstar, one of the best players in the NBA level. You don't have
none of the games were close.
Hear me out, Dame. I understand Gilgeous-Alexander won the MVP, but Luka, I think, is more of a pulverizing player than Gilgeous-Alexander. And I think you had that with the Mavericks. You had Kyrie Irving as well, who hit arguably the biggest shot in NBA history for the 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers to seal the deal against those phonies in Golden State. And then you had the Boston Celtics, the most well-known organization in all of basketball. With all due respect to the Los Angeles Lakers, okay? The Boston Celtics are the most successful team in the history of the league, and that little damn leprechaun that I can't stand at the center of that damn court is one of the most recognizable logos in all of sports. So that's why last year's finals did it for me. Luka had a chance to ascend to a level we really haven't seen at a very young age. You know, not a lot of people win NBA Finals 25 and under. That's what Luka had a chance to do.
Yeah,
and in a city like Dallas, their basketball.
I'll give you the narrative aspect of it. Let's be honest. Last year, I remember myself kind of turning off the NBA Finals and putting on the NHL Stanley Cup, which is something I usually just have split screens. But last year, I was turning off the NBA Finals because there were blowouts. Like I said, the series ended 4-1. It's kind of refreshing that this year the games are so intense. They're very close. You don't know who's going to win these games in the fourth quarter. And that's just something that I appreciate so much. I feel like that parity was missing from the NBA in recent years.
And Dame, I know some people can't stand the ratings. You know what I mean? The ratings tell you one thing. The ratings tell you if the average basketball fan is intrigued with the series. 8 million people. When it peaks at 8 million people, when the all-time best NBA Finals peaked at 50 million, what is that telling you?
Yeah.
That's telling you that people don't care about this matchup. And let's take COVID out of it. The COVID year, there were politics going on. People were very upset. Everyone was at each other's necks. Let's take COVID out of it. Let's take those years out of it because those were the worst ratings. Okay. Outside of the COVID years where it plummeted, these have been the worst rated NBA Finals. I don't think it's a coincidence, Damian.
I don't think it's a coincidence. I think there's also something to be said. These two teams aren't the most popular teams. You know, I don't think these teams have the biggest fan bases in the league. Whereas last year, for example, the Boston Celtics. That's probably one of the, if not the biggest brands in NBA Finals. So, yeah, I mean, obviously you're going to have more people tuning in because I feel like there are more diehard Celtics fans, whereas the Pacers population, I don't know the numbers, but I would assume that it's smaller. So that had maybe something to do with it. But, I mean, I just appreciate how competitive these games have been. I mean, OKC and the Pacers, the Thunders and the Pacers, they've gone neck and neck at each other in the past few games. And like I said, going into the fourth quarters, 5 minutes left, you don't know who's going to win these games. They're always within reach. So I just appreciate that side of the coin.
888-760-3776. That's the number to chime on in. This is Saturday Tailgate. We are live at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field. We got 7-on-7 action. We have flag football. We have real football. Now, they're not tackling each other. And here's the thing, too. What I find hysterical about the state of Florida, Damian Perez, I covered a full-on, full-contact football game in May. These kids were tackling. They were announced. I mean, the whole thing. Only in Florida where you're going to find people playing tackle football out in May and June. But we are here on site with our ESPN 106.3 7-on-7. Best of the best flag football teams. Best of the best football teams out here at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field. Damian, we talked a lot of finals. We are loaded this sports weekend. And another question I want to throw out to those callers at 888-760-3776. What's your go-to? I mean, Damian, you know our go-to. What's our go-to?
It has to be the FIFA Club World Cup this
weekend. I'll tell you what. If Inter Miami doesn't win tonight, I'm sounding the alarms for Javier Mascherano. I'm sounding the alarms. He's got to win this game tonight. All right. Al Ali, come on. Listen, I'm not expecting to be in these games against FC Porto and Palmeiras. All right, I mean, the Brazilian league is loaded with talent. FC Porto is playing in European football this year. Okay, Damian, it's a must win tonight for the Inter Miami Herons. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely, must win. And I mean, Mascherano said it himself. We're going to go into this tournament and we're going to take it game by game. And if that's going to be the case, then this game is the most important one. It's probably the most closer opponent per se. Because like you said, Porto and Palmeiras, they have a lot more resources, a lot more players at disposal. So
right. This
is the game that if you're going to kind of ride the momentum going into the other games, this is very important for that game, for that sense.
Now, Damian, we also have coming up the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, game number five down there in Edmonton. I was on site for 2.5 periods of the game four, where our Panthers went up 3-0 in the first period and weren't able to attain victory. That had, you know, it was the first time a team was up 3-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals and did not win the matchup. So I think these are all things that we are looking forward to this weekend. Damian, I am obviously have my eye on the football, on the soccer, but at the same time, basketball is number three on that list. I can't wait to watch the hockey tonight. I can't wait to watch the football tonight. And I understand that the finals happened already. Last night it was a good game. We were all tuned in. We were all watching. But I feel like the South Florida sports fan, I think the basketball is third. I think soccer is higher. And I also think the hockey is higher at this moment, Damian.
Yeah, and there's a big factor to that. I mean, we have our very own Florida Panthers playing in the Stanley Cup Final, which we've become very invested in the past few years. They've kind of, we can say they've kind of dominated the league in the past few years leading up to this year. And, I mean, the last game on Thursday, what a game that was. Going up 3-0, blowing a 3-0 lead, tying the game up with, 17, 20 seconds left, and unfortunately losing it in overtime. I mean, you couldn't script it better. I know it didn't work out in our favor, but if you're neutral just watching these games, I mean, they're unbelievable. You don't want to miss a second.
No, you don't. And certainly when you're going to overtime, three out of the four games. Damn, yeah. We've had an overtime game between the Panthers and Edmonton for three out of the four matches. Of course the Stanley Cup Final is the must-watch TV coming up over the weekend. If I had to bet my bottom dollar, it's going to go to overtime. And Damian, the over. Listen, we are powered by our good friends here at Hard Rock Bet on Saturday tailgate. And we took the over last night, Christian Cat and I. The over is 6.5. Dame, the over is hit every single game.
And what a fun bet.
You more goals, more fun, Dame.
You're just rooting for both teams. You're rooting for action. You're rooting for goals. So the over, whenever you can take the over in a game and feel comfortable, you know you're in for a great game.
Over 6.5. I think that's the bet that you got to lock in where they're good
friends.
I'm
surprised it hasn't moved up, you know, and I hope they're not listening to us right now, but I'm surprised they haven't bumped that number up to, I don't know, 7.5.
Yep. Folks, speaking of our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, download that Hard Rock Bet app today and get involved on the action. Damian, you sent me a fun little prop that Hard Rock Bet is offering. Bet $1 for a $20 bonus bet on any Club FIFA World Cup game. And if there is a corner, or excuse me, bet $1 for a $20 bonus bet in the Inter Miami and Al Ahly game. And if there is a corner kick, you're going to get $20 in bonus bets. How about that?
Unbelievable. I mean,
how about that?
The odds of there being a corner kick, I would say it's at a 99.8% that there is a corner kick. So the odds that you get that $20 bonus is very, very high. And all you got to do is risk $1, which Inter Miami money line is plus 110. So if you wanted to just throw it on Inter Miami money line, who would tell you no?
And let's not forget, a Florida bettor had a home run parlay. He wagered $50 on a home run parlay and won $35,000. Damian, what would you do with $35,000?
Wow.
What would you do?
Honestly, book a vacation.
Book a vacation. I'd probably
first
pay
thing
a
that comes to mind.
Pay a couple of bills, pay some credit cards off.
I'll worry folks, about that later.
Folks, regardless, all this can happen if you download the app with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in the state of Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. That is 1-888-ADMIT-IT. We are live on site for the ESPN 106.3 7-on-7 event at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field. We have the flag football game about to be underway here. Our guy Christian Cat on the PA announcing. I will take over PA announcing coming up at 1 o'clock when we go to the 7-on-7 special with Christian Cat and Damian Perez. We are reacting to the NBA Finals last night. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander playing the hero after being called out for his effort in Game 3. Gilgeous-Alexander showing up in a big way down the stretch, hitting a big three and never looking back. Are you in on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder? 888-760-3776. Where do you think the Indiana Pacers go to after this? Is this, you know, everybody has been waiting for the moment for the Thunder to pull away in this series, and it hasn't happened. Like, let's give Indiana their credit last night. Even when Oklahoma City went on that run late in the game, they were still in it. They were still fighting tooth and nail right to the end. I understand 111-104. I don't think this game should not. After watching this game, you should not go, wow, you know, this was kind of a convincing victory for Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City was down with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left to go in the ball game. So it was a great game last night. I'm still kind of wanting more from the matchup. But we're going to talk a lot more about that game coming up. We're going to talk a lot more about the Stanley Cup. And then, Damian, I have a fun little game for us for Saturday Tailgate Live at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field. We're going to be playing in. We're going to be playing out. Are you in or are you out? I'm going to have a couple of sports, you know, Dame, I'm going to have a couple of sports things. So, for instance, Joe Burrow to win the MVP. Are you in or out on that? It's not a question that I have for in or out. But those are the type of questions
scenario.
We're going to have. Yeah, those are the kind of scenarios we're going to have to be either in or out on. So I'm going to have a couple of sports scenarios for us coming up, and we're going to have to decide if we are in or out. As I mentioned, we are live at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field for the ESPN 106.37 on 7. We have the 7-on-7 special coming up at noon with Christian Cat and our very own Damian Perez. Taking a timeout. Coming right back, Saturday Tailgate, ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
We are live in our remote Evan Cohen Studios here at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field. It is the ESPN 106.3 7-on-7, where the best of the best flag football players are here. The best of the best teams on the football side are here. Truly the place to be for all football fans now. Come up here. Come up to Kaiser, to the Kaiser Multipurpose Field. See some great 7-on-7 action. We are certainly enjoying ourselves on Saturday Tailgate. Now, Damian Perez, this is the first time that I am remote. I believe this show was remote in Miami because Christian Catt had an event with LIV Golf, so he filled in for me. But this is the first time I am on remote for Saturday Tailgate. So a little history has been made on this beautiful, technically, is it still, I had to check my clock, my Good Karma Brands teammate Johnny Mondo next to me, I had to make sure that it was at the afternoon, you know, my God, not a cloud in the sky, beautiful day in South Florida. Now, Dame, I wanted to do a little in or out. What in or out is, for the people listening at home and in their cars, in or out is I bring up some sports scenarios, and you either have to be in on the scenario or out on the scenario. I have football. I have college football. I have hockey. I got basketball. I got baseball. Let's play a little in or out here on Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo here at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field. Damian Perez back at the City Place Studios, the Evan Cohen Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. All right, Dame, you ready for number one?
I'm ready.
A team not named the Kansas City Chiefs will make it out of the AFC next year.
I'm in on that.
So this is this. So basically, a team not named the Chiefs is going to make the Super Bowl. Are you in?
I'm in.
Or are you out? Dame, you're in on it. Explain.
I am in.
Explain.
I think there's teams like, for example, the Baltimore Ravens that are right there. The Joe Burrow led Bengals, they're also right there. I know they got some issues to figure out on defense, but you know, the Chiefs have kind of had a chokehold on the AFC in the past few years, but I just got to put my trust in Lamar Jackson. I'm really rooting for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens this year coming out of the AFC.
You're willing to go Palm Beach County native Lamar Jackson. You think he is going to be representing the AFC in
Absolutely.
The Super Bowl?
I think he's due. You know, he's had his MVPs. He's had a few runs, but he's kind of fallen short, and I think this is the year that he'll I can see him. He's locked in, and he's due.
I'm going to steal this from Mad Dog. I'm chiefed out. Guys, chiefed out. All right? I'm going to have to say in on this, but we all know what the Kansas City Chiefs are, right? They're the inevitable. They're Thanos. What was it, in Endgame? I am the inevitable. That's the Chiefs, right? They're probably going to make it out of that ridiculous AFC, but I'm going in on it to talk it into existence. And if I had to pick a team, Damian, if I had to pick a team to come out of the AFC, not named the Kansas City Chiefs, do you want to know what trap I am going to be falling into again?
Do not.
That is the Buffalo Bills and my guy Josh Allen. Oh, I love Josh Allen. He is everything you want in a quarterback. 6'4", pocket passer, mobile, willing to put his shoulder down and, you know, put his shoulder into a helmet, get a first down, rugged. Give me the Bills to come out of the AFC. But listen, we all know what's going to happen. It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Hopefully the Super Bowl was the start of the downfall for the Chiefs. Damian, they weren't in that game. They were never in the game. They had a chance to get in the game in the second quarter when Jalen Hurts threw the terrible back-heeled interception. The Chiefs got the ball right after that with a chance to tie it. And Patrick Mahomes threw an interception. And that was the downfall of the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I'm hoping that trickles down to the regular season.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see Travis Kelce this next year because You know, he took a significant decline last year. Rashi Rice was out, but he is coming back this year. They'll have another year of Hollywood Brown under that system. So, I mean, you can never count the Chiefs out. But like you said, I'm right there with you and Mad Dog Russo. I'm chiefed out. I just want to see somebody else make a Super Bowl that's not the Chiefs.
We are playing In or Out, where I come up with sports scenarios, and myself and my co-host and producer, Damian Perez, back at the Evan Cohen Studios at the City Place Studios, we have to decide if we are in or if we are out. Question number two, Dame.
Do it.
Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers will be better than the Cincinnati Bengals next year. Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers will be better than the Cincinnati Bengals last year. Two things here before we answer, Dame. Two things. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, new acquisition for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's going to be the starting quarterback. The Bengals, same division in the AFC North. Right now, Cincinnati is known as a mess. They're sack leader and best defensive player, former FAU Owl, by the way, Trey Hendrickson. He wants a new contract. He's sitting out. And then they have their first-round pick, Shamar Stewart, who doesn't want to go to work and hasn't played a down of football in his life in the NFL. So they're an absolute mess right now. Who is going to have the better season? The Pittsburgh Steelers, led by Aaron Rodgers, or the defenseless Cincinnati Bengals?
You know, this is interesting because, like you mentioned, the Steelers, they signed Aaron Rodgers. They picked up DK Metcalf. They're a franchise that are always – they're always competing. They always make playoffs. So it's a tough question, but – I'm going to be out on your question. I think the Bengals, they have the better quarterback. They re-signed Ja'Marr Chase. They re-signed T. Higgins. I just think they have the better nucleus. I know the defense has a lot of holes and a lot of questions to answer, but when you have an offense as strong as the Bengals, I'm going to have to go with the Bengals.
Damian, I'm in on Pittsburgh having a better year than Cincinnati for a wow. number of reasons. Number one, all right, Joe Burrow has proved he's the one calling the shots in that front office. Damian, I would have never paid Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins $30 million a year. You're out of your mind. You're going to pay a wide receiver $30 million? I could understand Chase, but my God, you're going to give T. Higgins that contract too? I understand that there's stipulations that the Cincinnati Bengals can get out of the T. Higgins deal. A lot of it has to do with performance on the field. Dame, I can't fathom. And listen, I know receiver. We're here at the 7-on-7. Receiver is the flashy position that everyone wants to play. I would $30 million to a wide receiver. Are you out of your mind? So I think with the amount of money that they spent and the lack of money that they spent on the defensive side, I think Pittsburgh as a team is better. They traded for DK Metcalf. Granted, he's making $20 million a year. What a life it is for a receiver in the NFL. But they traded for DK Metcalf. They got rid of George Pickens, who is a cancer in that locker room. They have TJ Watt. That situation has to get figured out with his contract. I think we could all agree with that. But as a team, as a full team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, are going to be comparatively better than the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to surprise all you guys.
Yeah, you make a great point.
I do.
But at the end of the day, I mean, the Steelers' success is extremely reliant on Aaron Rodgers being a successful signing. And if we look at his time last year with the Jets, they had everything you needed to be successful. And you can say it was Aaron Rodgers that was the one that kind of messed everything up. So when we look at it from that perspective, now I know the Steelers have a better foundation per se, but I don't know, the added pressure that Aaron Rodgers carries, I don't think will work in their favor.
Moving on in or out, by the way, Damian out on the Pittsburgh Steelers having a better season than the Bengals. I am in on the Pittsburgh Steelers, led by Aaron Rodgers, having a better season than the Cincinnati Bengals. Dame, this next one is very interesting. We have had two rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs in the NFL the last 2 years. C.J. Stroud made the playoffs 2 years ago as a rookie with the Houston Texans. And then last year, Jaden Daniels made it all the way to the NFC Championship game where they ultimately ended up losing to the Super Bowl champ Philadelphia Eagles. My question on in or out, a rookie quarterback will be in the playoffs for the third year in a row. And Dame, let me put some context on this for you. The only real answer would be the Tennessee Titans and Cam Ward. If you look at any of these teams, now listen, you could go with my Brownies and Shedeur Sanders, fair play to you. They're going to win four games. But if you want to be realistic, all right, the only real team that has a chance with a rookie quarterback is Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans. So, Damian, are you in on a rookie quarterback, or excuse me, are you in or out on a rookie quarterback being in the playoffs in the NFL for the third year in a row?
I'm in. I'm absolutely buying
into
Cam Ward. You're
in on Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans. What, four games last year, Dane?
I mean, how can you not? The guy is absolutely locked in. He's been in the training center at 5 a.m. every day. You got to kick him out. He's really looking to go out there and have a season like Jaden McDaniels. Going into last year, I don't believe anybody was expecting what Jaden McDaniels was going to do. And I believe Cam Ward has a quote-unquote easier division with the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Colts. So looking at it from that perspective, I can absolutely see Cam Ward at least making it through the wild card.
I'm out. I'm out on this. I think Cam Ward is a good – I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I don't think Tennessee has enough. Now, Washington was able to do this, I think, last year because they had a head coach who coached in the playoffs before in Dan Quinn. And I think that him being a defensive-centered guy, it really worked out. I think a lot of things worked out with Washington, with Quinn changing the culture of the team and Jaden Daniels being able to kind of lift up that offense. So I am out on Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans and a rookie quarterback being in the playoffs for a third year in a row. This next one is intriguing. Now, I got to be careful because I got the big boss here, Stephanie Prince, the GM of ESPN West Palm. A Florida team will make the college football playoff next year. In or out? A Florida team, a college team, you know, obviously Florida State, Florida, Miami. Damian, are you in or out on a Florida college football team being in the 12-team college football playoff? I'll start us off, Dame.
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm out.
I'm leaning out as well.
I'm out. And here's the problem. I think Florida, you know, I guess I'm shouting out all my teammates. Johnny Mondo here is dressed like Billy Napier, and he's got the stopwatch out. But I got to inform him that I think the Gators' schedule is a little too hard to get to the college football playoff next year. I think they're going to see some tremendous amount of strides. I'm very high on that roster. I just think there are going to be a lot of two-loss SEC teams, and I think it's going to come down to tiebreakers and garbage like that. Not saying DJ Lagway is going to have a bad year. I don't think Billy Napier is coaching for his job anymore, but I don't see the Gators getting in because of how hard that schedule is again. Florida State, I want to see them win six games before I see them in the college football playoff, and I think Florida State fans would even agree with me on that. The one that is intriguing is Miami with Carson Beck. Carson Beck, is Miami going to be able to reciprocate what they got from Cam Ward with Carson Beck? I don't see that. And I know 2 years ago, Carson Beck had an unbelievable year for Georgia where he threw about 30 touchdowns and threw three interceptions. But the recency bias that I saw last year, from Beck and Georgia, I don't see Miami getting to the college football playoff. I think Clemson is the team out of the ACC. Damian, I'm going out on a Florida team being in the college football playoff next year.
Yeah, I think if there was a team that were to make it, it's definitely the Gators over UM. You know, the Gators ended last year 8-5, and at the end of the season, a four-game win streak, including wins over LSU and Ole Miss. So they definitely show that they've improved in the past few years, but it's very tough, man. I put Texas and Georgia ahead of UF and the SEC.
In or out?
I'm going to go out.
Out. So, folks, an in or out, I give you sports scenarios, and Damian and I have to decide if we're in or we're out. Moving on to hockey. The Panthers will win the Stanley Cup this year. The Panthers will win the Stanley Cup. It's tied 2-2. 2-2 right now. 3-0, I saw the Panthers go up. I left, and they lost 5-4 in overtime. So you could blame me for being the Maloik. But, Damian Perez, I ask you, on in or out, are you in on the Panthers winning the Stanley Cup after being tied 2-2 with the Edmonton Oilers as we shift to Game 5 in Edmonton tonight?
Absolutely, I'm in. I mean, how can you not? The Florida Panthers have been electric throughout the whole, not just this year, last year, and I know the Oilers have also, but at the end of the day, I'm absolutely in on the Florida Panthers winning the Stanley Cup Finals this year.
I'm in as well. I'm going to go in on the Panthers winning. I like I know McDavid is the best player in the world. Draisaitl might be one of the, you know, top five. If he's not the second or third, he's certainly top five. So they have the players. I think Florida has the better team.
Yeah.
Edmonton has the best two players in the series, but Florida, I think, has the better team. I cannot believe that they lost 3-0.
Better goalkeeping,
excuse me,
too.
I cannot believe that they got up 3-0 and lost that game. I had to explain that to my old man who woke up. You know, he fell asleep. These games are ending at 2 in the morning. Stephanie and her son are GM. They didn't get home until 2 in the morning. Hey, NHL, can we fix the schedule? But I had to explain to the old man how the Panthers blew a 3-0 lead. Damien, it has never happened before.
Yeah, and I think the
Panthers. It has never happened before.
I think the Panthers have a significant. Their goalkeeping is a lot better. You know, Bobrovsky is one of the better goalkeepers in the NHL. And I think that plays huge into the Stanley Cup Finals.
So we are both in on the Panthers still winning the Stanley Cup Final, even after blowing a 3-0 lead and a chance to go up 3-1 in the series. All right, Dame, our last one on In or Out. And if I have Miami Heat fans around here, this is the question for you. Our last question and our last basketball question. Kevin Durant will be on the Miami Heat next year. Are you in or out?
I'm in.
You're
in. And I hope that's the case. I mean, the Miami Heat, we've been looming the past few years. We made a few NBA finals, but we just need that one player that'll take us over the hump. And I think Kevin Durant, with what the Miami Heat already have, I don't think they will have to give up too much to get Kevin Durant, just a few first-round picks as well as a few, maybe a rookie here and there. But absolutely, I'm in. Kevin Durant to Miami, sign me up.
Damian, I'm going to say something. I think the Heat are irrelevant. They're absolutely irrelevant right now. They don't have a star. They're going into the play-in tournament every year. I'm out on Durant going to the Heat, but the reason I bring this up, you got to get relevant again, man. But, like, I know
that's exactly why I'm in, though.
I know that we're, what, 2-3 years separated from the Heat being in the NBA Finals with the great run by Jimmy Butler. But for Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra to sit here with that trash heap of a roster, I'm very surprised that this is where we're at with the Heat and no moves have been made yet.
That's exactly why I'm in, because being mid-pack is kind of like purgatory in the NBA, because you don't get a lottery pick. You're kind of – overall, you don't get a good draft pick. So it's very hard to build on that. So
I mean, yeah, Dame, spare me with the Bam Adebayo. Spare me with the Tyler Hero, all right? You lost by 40 points to a Cleveland Cavalier team that was softer than Charmin Ultra, okay, that got ran off the court against Indiana, and you lost by 40 points to those phonies.
But you're proving my point. So why not take a chance and go and get Kevin Durant? Why
I'm
not?
Out,
what's
I'm,
there to lose?
I'm out on Durant because I think you're going to have to trade for him, Dame. That's my thing. You're going to have to trade for him. I don't know, and listen, Colin, the great Colin Russo, who I hope isn't, in a ditch somewhere in Boulder in his Iron Man, okay? We hope everything's all right there. He is the, technical foul on the play. He is the money guy when it comes to these ridiculous trades in the NBA. I don't think Miami has enough power to go and get Miami, so that's why I'm out on this, but they need to make a move.
But
we all agree they need to make a move.
If Kevin Durant says, I want to be in Miami, I think the Suns will do right by him.
888-760-3776. That's the number to chime on in on Saturday Tailgate. That was the first ever riveting edition of In or Out on Saturday Tailgate. Folks, when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We are live at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field for the ESPN 106.3 7-on-7, where the best flag football players in the area are here. The best high school football teams in the area are here. What are you waiting for? Get on out to the 7-on-7 and come join us at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field. We're taking a timeout, coming right back with a little parlay of the weekend with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet on Saturday Tailgate.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Saturday Tailgate on remote at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field. here at Kaiser University with ESPN 106.3's 7-on-7, where the best of the best flag players, best of the best high school football players are doing their thing, playing a little 7-on-7. Get on out here. What are you waiting for? It's a beautiful day. Got some great football in tune. Get on out to the 7-on-7 at the Kaiser Multipurpose Field. You want to know another event that my teammates and I here at ESPN 106.3 do a great job at putting on? That is the 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, and it is kicking off its 12th annual year. Tuesday, December 23rd, 2 p.m. at FAU Stadium, the game will be airing on ESPN. Two of the biggest and best teams from the Group of Five will battle it out for their shot at the title. More information at BocaRatonBowl.com. That is BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on X at Boca Bowl and, or excuse me, at Boca Bowl on Twitter/X and Facebook.com/Boca Bowl. That is Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates to 2025 Boca Raton Bowl Tuesday, December 23rd at FAU Stadium. All right, it is now time to build our parlay of the weekend. Damian, I want to get to our bets first. So I'm going to get to our teammates' bets here that are on site with me at the 7-on-7 in a second. But our bets, we're going to go over goals on the Panthers and the Oilers at 6.5. Every single game has gone over. I had the under in game 3 where our Panthers won 6-1, and the 6th and 7th goal of the game was scored in the third minute of the third period. So put that in perspective. I got burned there, Damian. We're going to go over. Every game has gone over. We're following that trend. Damian Perez, you want to go Inter-Miami tonight. So we're going
to Inter-Miami.
Inter-Miami at +105, and then I think PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, carries over that momentum that they had winning the Champions League against Inter Milan. Largest deficit since 1992 in the start of the UCL at 5-0. That's -110, and then the teammates here on site want to go with no overtime. No overtime in Panthers and Edmonton. Who do you guys think wins? Quickly. They think the Panthers win. So no overtime and a Panther win coming up tonight. So that is our parlay of the weekend. Once again, over 6.5 goals for Panthers and Oilers. Inter Miami +105. Paris Saint-Germain to beat Atletico Madrid at -110. And then no overtime. No overtime on the NHL side. So, listen. I'm rooting for the Panthers. I'm rooting for a good game. Damian, why do I think this is probably going to go to overtime again?
Because it's gone to overtime.
Why do I think?
Like
why
80%
do I think
of the time?
Yeah, why do I think that this is going to go to overtime again and we're going to be up until God only knows? At least it's Saturday night. You know, my God. Guys, can I complain about how late these games are real quick? Can we figure it out? Listen, I know Edmonton is what, Central time, maybe even Mountain time, but my God. That game ended at 1 in the morning. 1 in the morning. What are we doing? East Coast time, 1 in the morning? Can they meet us halfway? They don't work in Edmonton. They don't work in Canada. Doesn't matter when you start the game. Right? We work down here in South Florida. They don't work up there in Edmonton. We could start that game whenever we want. Damian, it is ridiculous how late these games are ending.
Yes, especially because overtime has been a reality in a lot of these games. I feel like it just adds on an extra hour because when that third period ends, there's still a 20-minute intermission before overtime starts. So that just drags out the game. But, God. I mean, the excitement that we've got from these games, how good they have been. I mean, I know it's 1 in the morning. It's midnight for some of us. But a part of me doesn't want it to end as I'm fighting sleep.
Dude, the intermission is unbearable. Like, I think I watched 2 episodes of One Piece before the intermission was back. I mean, it was like 25 minutes. 25 minutes, a 25-minute intermission. You're losing me.
But to these players, those intermissions, that must be gold. You know, you catch your breath, you rehydrate. I know some of them are probably cramping, so you do whatever you got to do to address that. The intermissions, for a fan's perspective, it's a drag, but for the players, I feel like it's gold.
Listen, the hockey player is the toughest player out there. All right, and I'm not trying to take away what the hockey player needs to get right. Most of those guys are playing with broken arms, for God's sakes. I mean, my God, broken foot. Most of these guys are skating on a broken foot, for God's sakes. All right, but can we end with the 1 in the morning? Can we get rid of the 1 in the morning ending? I mean, my goodness. And I know it's overtime. Overtime is a lot of it, right? Overtime's a lot of it because you get another 20 minutes of a to your point, Damien, of the intermission. Then, you know, you're waiting until someone scores a goal. Now, NHL does overtime right with the golden goal.
Yeah.
That is an unreal thing. I wish, Damien, you know, we're our big soccer guys here on 106.3. I wish soccer could do golden goal, but those guys start, you know, keeling over on the pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have these guys
park
running
the bus.
And Dame, you know how some of these games are too. Nobody's ever going to score.
Right.
You know, in some of these soccer games, nobody's ever going to score.
And that's not the case in hockey. I feel like hockey, it's so back and forward, it's so intense that there could be a goal at any second.
Yeah. But 888-760-3776, that is the Baptist Health Hotline here on ESPN 106.3. Running out of showtime here on Saturday tailgate. But I want to invite you guys. Christian Catt is going to be handling the 7-on-7 show that is coming up next. The 7-on-7 special that is coming up next. He will take you, him and Damian Perez will take you up until 1 o'clock. Plenty still to talk about. We barely scratched the surface with the NBA Finals, barely scratched the surface with the hockey. And if I know Christian, he is locked into the U.S. Open. So expect a lot of golf talk coming up from my man Christian Catt as the U.S. Open down there in Oakmont in Philadelphia. Or excuse me, Philadelphia. I'm all over the place. In Pennsylvania, well underway. Folks, sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. We'll catch up with you guys on Monday when I'm live with Russo and Rizzo with my good buddy Colin Russo. We'll see you later. Bye.